Easy to love him, isn't it?
Yes.
When you see about him, the more you want to. If you have your Bibles, let's open to St. John chapter 10. I'll try not to keep you real long tonight. I know the Lord is mindful of your midweek tiredness, and so I want to be also. St. John chapter 10. I want to read verses 1 through 6, and then 14 through 16, and then 24 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then we'll go to verse 24 through 29. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we realize that we're a blessed people to be able to come to this place tonight and be able to sit and just look upon your word and sing praises to you and just have your presence come and minister to us, Lord. We just want to give our thanks to you for it, Lord. Let's open our hearts to you tonight and ask God that you break the bread of life for your children tonight. Lord, we know there is healing in your word. And so, Lord, we just want to receive tonight everything that you have for us. And so I pray, Lord, that I can just get myself out of the way, that you can move me over and just use my vocal cords, Lord, to speak your words to your children. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today I'm going to call this the voice of God. The voice of God to you. Amen. Amen. And so, the scripture says, as we read there, my sheep know my voice. I am so glad to know that. As I said, something, I don't remember exactly, Sunday, I'm so glad that God has things in control and that it's not up to me. I said something about people getting offended whenever they think of that God, there's a predestinated will or plan of God, and that doesn't offend me at all. I rejoice in that. I always, when I think about that, I always think about the story there that Billy Paul told about the man giving the message book to his boss, and his boss came back and said, "Don't ever give me another book from that man again." He said, "Because that man in that book called me a buzzard." And he said, "Well, that's funny. The same book called me an eagle."
Right.
And you realize that it's what you hear, right?
Right.
What you hear, you know, you can't be anything except what you see and what is revealed to you. And so we are so glad to know that God has things in control. And so he reveals these things to us and rejoices in our heart. And so I'm glad to know that he said, my sheep know my voice, and so they will follow me. He said, they will not follow another. You realize there's all kinds of voices out there that's in competition for your attention. And wants to lead you and guide you and wants you to follow them. And we are sheep. We are going to follow something,
yeah.
Right? These people that think they're just their own person, they're just deceived because you're being led by something.
Right.
And as the prophet said, of course, we know the age-old thing about the angel sitting on one shoulder and the devil sitting on the other, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that in that kind of analogy because you are being either led from something godly or from something that's not godly. And so there's a lot of voices out there, a lot of things that wants your attention. And we as sheep, we're going to be led. And so we have the confidence of knowing that my sheep know my voice. You know, there's all these religions out there that say, oh, we're right, and this says that's right, and over here we're right, and all that. But here it is right here. My sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And they will not follow another. And so when it says that they will... my sheep know my voice, and they will hear it and they follow. That means that they hear it and they recognize it
right.
to be God.
Yeah.
You know, because people can hear the word of God. I mean, remember the prophet saying, he gives the example to the drunkard. Did you hear what the preacher said? Yeah, I heard it. But did he hear it?
Mm-hmm.
No, he really didn't.
Yeah.
And so, but he says, my sheep know my voice. So that means that they hear it and they recognize that it's him.
Right.
Right? And so then also, because they recognize it's him, they follow it.
Right.
That's the way the shepherd leads. I don't know if any of you have seen it. I've mentioned it before. I probably should try to look it up and see if I can download it and bring it in where we can show it. But it's a short video clip of a shepherd standing on the side of, side of a road, and his sheep's all out there scattered in the field. And he's got several people there with him, just different people there. And he I don't know if he challenges them or whatever, but one by one, each one of these people that are there with him, they step up there and they holler trying to get the sheep's attention. And they don't pay attention to any of them.
Right.
But as soon as he did, man, here they come.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, God made natural things to type spiritual, so you have that. As Brother Brim said, a sheep is helpless.
Yeah.
A horse can kick, a dog can bite, a lion can, you know, whatever, roar, whatever, but a sheep has nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they can't run but just a little ways until they get out.
Yeah.
That's us. That's what we are spiritually. See, right. We're like that. And he made that, made it so we could look at these analogies and help us to understand our need for him as our great shepherd.
Yeah.
And so they recognize it and they follow it. And so, because there's so many voices out there that want our attention, we have the confidence of knowing that his sheep won't follow that. Now, when I say that, let me just clarify the way I break this down in my mind when I look at this. And that is, you know, we're all coming to this world born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We all have this time that we're, until we finally come to the realization we need a Savior and we're born again. But when he says they won't follow a stranger, ultimately your life will not go down the pathway that takes you to destruction.
Yeah.
Right.
He's saying you're going to come in contact with his voice. You're going to know it's his voice. You're going to follow it.
Right.
Right? And in through that, he will lead you in and lead you out, lead you to pasture. He will protect you. And as he said, he will give you eternal life. Yeah. Amen? So we love that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the scripture tells us we live by the word of God. Right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we live by the word of God. And so you realize it's the voice of God that brings you the word.
Right.
Of God. It's the voice of the word, or however you want to say it. And you know, when you, I always thought it was interesting, once I saw it in scriptures there, that when Adam and Eve, when God would come down in the cool of the day to meet with them, to fellowship, you know, the scripture said that Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Right? See, you know, I know that a man should live by his word. Right?
Right.
And I can promise you something, or Brother Daniel can promise you something, and would have full intentions, but we're not God. And so circumstances could come along where we just simply could not fulfill our word.
Right.
But God's not that way.
Amen.
See? He lives by his word, and no circumstance can keep him from fulfilling his promise.
That's right.
Right? And so, it is the voice of God that was there in the garden, and it's God's voice that's the way that we fellowship with him. That's the way that we know him. Right?
Right.
It's through his word. It's the presence of his word that has come down that moves among us. Right? It's a spirit form, but the Holy Ghost is nothing more than the spirit of the word.
Right.
Same right, spirit of truth. And so it just happens to be, like I mentioned here a while back, it happens to be called Holy Ghost now because it's the spirit of Christ. Prior to that, it was only called Holy Spirit or Spirit of God. But now we know it as the Holy Ghost because it's Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen? It's so good to know truth. You know, there's like clarity of the Godhead in knowing that. And so, but God speaks through so many ways. The prophet tells us in sermons titled Let Us See God. He talks about God in the universe. God, you know how that God's in the stars? The scripture tells us that. You can look up and see, and his program is written in the stars, and all people see it.
Yeah.
Right? They see that program. Do they recognize what it is? That's a different story, but different topic. But it's all there, and so God's in his universe, and he talks about how it's the pyramid is a Bible because it's got all the ages there in the making of the pyramid. But God in his universe and God in his people, God in his word, in the Bible, God in his people, and God is in so many ways. He's in nature, and he's even in events that take place.
Yeah.
And so God can speak through so many avenues. He's just endless avenues or ways that he can speak. But the thing about it is they're all God's voice, and they're all speaking his word, and his sheep will hear his word.
That's right.
So God can get your attention through all kinds of ways, speak to you. But there's one thing to always remember, and I'm always cautious with this when we talk about, you know, being led by the Spirit. You must always know that if you're led by the Spirit, if God speaks to you, he will not be leading you and speaking to you something contrary to his program.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, that's as Brother Ram talked about the Urim and Thummim. You know, I never heard of that phrase at all outside of the message. Baptist Church, Pentecost, I never heard of it. I'm like, what's he talking about? Right? It's the breastplate, right? Those stones that were there, whenever they, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams would come there, and even David inquired through Urim. You read that in the scriptures. There was a supernatural thing that God had there, a way for someone to come there, and they would check to see if it was right. Whether, and if it was, then those lights would flicker or light up. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it would testify that this dreamer or prophet, whatever, was right. But the prophet tells us today that, you know, that priesthood was done away with, and so that's not here. You don't have that breastplate running around doing that anymore. But today's Urim and Thummim is the Word. So if anybody has a dream or a vision, you feel led of the Lord, you think something, it's always got to be this right here.
Right.
Right? And I know sometimes I don't mean to aggravate people. I don't mean to say, but I'm just trying to get people to look, this is it.
Right.
Everything's got to come back to this. And it bothers me when I see people, especially Christian people, that they're making decisions and they're not coming back and at least, you know, trying to inquire of the Word and trying to go before the Urim, right, and find out. And so it bothers me. And so I say that to people, you know, hey, it's got to be the Word. And that is our, that's what we find. But God speaks through so many different ways. And we recognize Him. It's always going to be His Word. Now, we know the Scripture tells us that the letter killeth. The letter of this word, if just reading this with an intellect, just reading that word and trying to live it, trying to abide by it, it don't work. It killeth. God never intended for us to live by this word just from an intellectual standpoint.
Right.
That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. So the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever looked at it this way, but we know that it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word to us.
Right.
So the letter without the Spirit is just death. You know, it killeth. But if the Holy Spirit comes upon us and reveals this Word to us, now we're hearing the Word.
Right.
Right? The drunkard can hear it read, but not know what it really means because the Holy Spirit has not moved upon him and quickened it. But when the Spirit gives life, what is that saying? The Spirit is bringing revelation of the Word. Now the Word is speaking to you in a depth and a layer that wasn't before. And it's a living Word, so you can do that over and over, all through your life, will all through your life, all through eternity. But He speaks to you, and He takes it beyond just the letter of the Word. It takes it into the realm where it's like the prophet said, it's a love letter. You can read between the lines. You can see things that nobody else sees because you've got favor of God because you have revelation. That's why the prophet said we need to pray for revelation.
Right.
Because if God does not reveal it to you, you can't do anything with it. You try to deal with it, it's just death. But once He reveals it to you, once it comes alive and it has jumped off the pages and it electrified your experience, and from then on you know what that word means, whatever He's revealed. Godhead, serpent seed, maybe a path for your life, a decision in life. Once that has struck you, Satan can never take that away from you. You know that's true. Why? Because God, everything God does is perfect. He doesn't have to back up on anything. And when He reveals something to you, you don't ever have to go back on that.
Right.
And Satan can't pull that away. Right? And so we know that. It takes the Spirit to give life, and so it takes the Spirit to give us revelation of the Word to bring that life to us. And that's the place where the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
Right.
There is not a promise in this Bible that the gates of hell, and I know we can say this different ways, but to get the point of what I'm trying to get to say tonight about the voice of God speaking to you, it doesn't say the gates of hell will not prevail against somebody just reading the letter. But when it's revealed to you, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. And that's the place we've got to get to in our walk and our experiences, is not to walk daily and live daily by the letter of the Word, but to have an experience with God so that The revealing of the word is what you have, and that's what you walk in.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, to do that, it's a walk of faith.
Right.
Right? Because a revelation, a mystery, a supernatural thing, it's something that revealed, but it also, there's a supernatural element that remains with that. And you can't just go and tell somebody and they go, oh yeah, I got it too. It can only come to every one of us by a personal relationship, a personal voice of God speaking to each one of us separately. And that's why you can't give a revelation. God will give it to you. You can rejoice in it. You can try. But if you just talk to someone about something that's revealed to you, it's just letter to them.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But they have to have that same experience where God would quicken that to them. And so that's the place where we want to be in our walk every day, is we want to live our life based upon the revealing of the word, how God has spoken and revealed his word to us in this day. And you walk that by faith. Amen. So if you want to overcome, then we want to live our life by revelation, which is faith. Faith is revelation. The prophet tells us that. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's been revealed to you. Faith in God's word. Faith in something he has spoken to you. But it has to be faith.
Right.
So it's in the midst of obstacles. It's in the midst of intellect. In the midst of natural carnal things fighting against it. Intellect fighting against it. Everybody fighting against it, but it's been revealed to you, and in the midst of all this opposition, you know it's truth, and you've got to step out on it. In the midst of all this opposition, you've got to step out and live according to the fact that you believe that.
Right.
See, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteous. He believed God, but he also walked according to the fact that he believed. Right?
Right.
So we're getting into this. There is this place where we've got to put footsteps on what we believe.
Right.
Right.
Right? So faith is a revelation because it's a revelation of God's word. It's faith in that. And the scripture tells us that we cannot please God without faith. So let me back up here so you understand what I'm trying to get across to us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God without living by the revelation of the word. We can't please God.
Right.
You can try to live by the letter. You're not going to please God. It's that relationship, speaking that word to you, and then taking that and moving and walking in that. That then you can please God when you walk in that kind of thing. And so we must follow the voice of God, the word of God, by revelation.
Yeah.
And so in our daily life, do we do that? Do we get up every day? Do we say, Lord, I want to walk by faith today. I want to live today by faith. I want to conduct myself in a manner that I know maybe others might not see, but I see it because you've spoken it to me. You revealed it to me.
Right.
And being mindful of that, knowing that if we want to be victorious, we've got to walk out there and by faith. Out there where, we talk about how the fruit's out on the limb, right? I am the vine, you are the branches, and fruit grows out on the branches. That's us. That's out there where we're at. Amen. And so every day we need to put feet on the revelation of God that God has given us. Act like you believe it.
Yeah.
I don't mean act like pretend, but I mean conduct yourself showing that you believe. As James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And I'm not trying to tell you you're saved by works, but I'm telling you that if you really believe something, it's going to make a difference in your life. You're going to do it. I was telling someone the other day, I said, hey, you can't take fire into your bosom and not know it.
Right.
Right? Amen.
Yeah.
So we need to remember, when I said we have to live it by faith, we have to realize that a lot of people around us may not know. They may not understand. They may look at us and think we're crazy. That's part of it. But when you know God has spoke to you, then you follow that. And so, because the scripture said that someone is led by the Holy Spirit, it's like the wind that comes and it goes, and you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. You just feel it, right? And sometimes the Lord moves on us, And when you look, sometimes when you see somebody else and God has moved upon them, you don't have a clue what's going on. All you see is the action, the result of it. And that's the way it is. The Holy Spirit moves upon. What is it? It's a personal walk of faith that you have with God. Personal walk with Him. The Holy Spirit moving you. And so we want to put feet on the revelation that God has given to us. And when I say that, I want to get into the fact that there is a supernatural visitation, I'll say it that way, that comes to you when you do this. Okay? It follows the sequence of the justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're very familiar with that. How that you're justified by faith. That's the first work of grace. Where you realize you're a sinner, you repent, God moves upon your heart, you realize that weight comes off your shoulders. That's justification. And then sanctification is the second work of grace, where all your habits and bad things, you know, drinking, cussing, what, all that stuff, you get rid of that. And then after that, the Holy Spirit can come upon you and baptize you. Right. And so we understand that as a Christian, but I'm saying just even in this, in just a little example of a revelation of God's Word, when He reveals something to you, He has like a move of justification to give to you, and you see now, it's revealed to you now, this justification. But now you've got to conduct yourself accordingly. So you move into sanctification, sanctified to live according to what God has shown you. That's what happens. When you get justification, then you immediately, I mean, for me, as soon as God touched my heart, I started trying to eliminate stuff out of my life that I knew wasn't right. So immediately, God was working the second work of grace to start cleaning me up from the drinking or smoking or whatever the habit was of things in the world. That just, and so, because you realize God can't really come and live in an unclean vessel like that. So he reveals it to you, then you've got to step into it. And then after, and that's you doing that, yeah. But by His grace. But after a while, once you move into that and you're sanctified according to the revelation that you got under justification, then all of a sudden He comes and baptizes you.
Right.
And it's the same way with each individual step with the Word. When God reveals something to you, He expects you to walk in what He's revealed.
Right.
And at first, it's you just being obedient to what He has said. But after a while, there's a supernatural presence of God that comes on you and baptizes you and solidifies that whole thing. That revelation will never leave you again. And you'll have the supernatural power of God. You'll never go back to those things again. There are some people that come out and come just have a justified experience, and maybe they don't ever get sanctified. And they go wind up back in the world. Some get justified and actually be sanctified, and they go back into the world.
Yeah.
Right? But you got to get to the place where that supernatural presence of God comes upon you and seals that into you.
Yeah.
And so that's our whole Christian walk, all as a Christian. But each individual experience that you have in God's Word, you need something in life, and He reveals that to you. He expects you to live by faith, and you start walking in that, walking through the land that He's showing you, as He did Abraham. And at some point, supernaturally, God comes upon that, and that whole thing is baptized, sealed in, and there's where the gates of hell can never take that away from you.
Right. Right?
Never can. Amen. And so it starts out with us putting feet on the revelation. So that's Brother Branham at the end of his ministry here on earth. He preached that sermon of Works as Faith Expressed, and I've mentioned that, how those letters spell out the wife, WIFE, Works is Faith Expressed. If you think about this, that God has come down with a great message, has brought Christ to us to marry us and for us to marry Him. And, you know, when a husband and wife get together, they're married, then, you know, wife begins to wash clothes and You know, I started out when my wife and I got married, and she's probably going, what's he about to say? When we first got married, I just set out, I was going to be one washing all my clothes, and she wouldn't have it. She insisted on being the one to wash my clothes, you know. I don't know why, I just, you know, that's just what I was thinking at the time, but she, you know, she insisted on washing my clothes because that was her part. She wanted to do that, right? And so my whole point is when we meet Christ and we come into this marriage arrangement with him, uniting with the Word, there's work to be done. There's dedication to do to that Word. We have, as the prophet said, we have a responsibility to prayer and to reading the Word and the things that go with it. We have that responsibility. And so there is some works that we have to do that is our faith expressed. It's showing that we have faith in this message when we walk according to the message.
Right.
And there's a certain element of that where we have to do that, but there's a supernatural presence that comes and mingles with that, and it's a love affair. It's marriage.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why the prophet, you know, he preached that the next time, the night before that he preached the invisible union of the bride of Christ. Right? So, such a wonderful message. And so, works as faith expressed. And other people may look and say, these people are crazy. But see, because they don't see it, but you do. What God has spoke, God has shown to you, God has this, what I'm getting to, the voice of God has spoken these things to you, and it's personal to you.
Right.
And he wants you to walk in relationship with that voice, because he has come down like he did Adam and Eve. He's come down in the evening to fellowship with you. He's come down to unite with you. You're uniting with the Word.
Yeah.
That's why I keep saying, how can people claim to believe this message or be Christians and they deny any portion of the Word, especially the portion that's revealed in this last day?
Yeah.
See? I mean, God can reveal special things to you as an individual, but generally, overall, as us as believers in this hour, God is revealing the same truths to us. We're not just all going different directions. It's all one main revelation of the revealing of the Son of Man to us in this hour. Amen. And so, others might not see it, but you do, and because you do, then you can walk in it. And if you'll walk in it by faith, that revelation sealed away, God will come upon that, and you'll just have a supernatural walk with him in these things, and God will do exploits in your life. Amen. Because he's spoken it to you, you recognize it as him. You are following him. And because of that, when I said you, when you move into the revelation, you see it, you move into it, start acting on it, and he comes upon it. He says, if you hear it, and you start obeying it, then he gives you eternal life.
Right.
That anointing come upon you and sealing you. That is that consummation. And we have that as a Christian, but we have it in little ways each time. See, a husband and wife, they have a marriage ceremony, but every day they recommit by their actions and by the interaction of marriage. That marriage is recreated, recommitted, re-expressed every day over and over and over and over. It's called the fire that's in a marriage, or the you know, it's there. And God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be like an old man and woman who don't even want to sit by each anymore. That marriage, when the prophet said that, should always, that love, that spark in your eyes, should always be there. He's talking about our Christian experience, too.
Right?
It should always be there. Man, and there are things in the natural that come against that. There are things spiritual come against it. But yeah, and I'll say this for in the natural, husbands and wife, work on that. You have to fight to make sure that those something doesn't come in there to split that up. And I will tell you, it's the same way spiritually. Amen. So you recognize it, then you can move upon it. And he says, I give to them eternal life. Amen. And so. And then, and so in verse 28, he says, this is where he wanted to get to. Once you have a revelation, you move into it, and that supernatural experience is there, then that's the grounds where Satan cannot do anything against it. And that's why in verse 28, he said, they shall never perish. My sheep know my voice. Right? They hear it. They know it's me. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life.
Right.
They hear it. They know it's me. They follow me. They'll never perish.
Mm-hmm.
It's real clear to obey his words. If you want to get into a victorious life, get into the place where you're living by revelation, by faith in the revelation that God has given you. And that means that you will be walking in opposition to most of the world. Right? It's just the way it is. It's just going to be, that's just how it is. But you're walking with the King. Amen. And so that's what a Christian walk is. Christian walk is we are following the voice of God that has come and spoken to us individually, spoken to all of us, but spoken to us individually also. And so God has a voice in many, many ways. He can speak through his voice to so many ways. And one of them is the prophet of the age. That's one of them.
Right.
And I'll end by reading this quote here. Brother Branham, in a sermon called My Commission. What was his commission? Amen. Brother Branham says, "Now I'm just your brother. By the grace of God." Amen. He says, "But when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes then a voice of God to you. Maybe if I offend you by saying that, forgive me. But I felt that might be resented. But I am the voice of God to you, see? I say that again. That time it was under inspiration. See, I felt bad about it the first time, but it repeated it. You hear what he's saying? Now, see, I can't say nothing in myself, but what he shows me, I say it. You believe it? And then watch what happens, see? He did. So Brother Branham was explaining there, he knew God had sent him to be a voice to this age. And he felt like, oh, that might have offended somebody, but the Holy Spirit moved him to say it again and say it more bold and say, I am the voice of God to you. That doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Ghost, right? But I know the scripture says you have no need that a man teach you, that the Spirit that's in you, it'll... And you can't say, well, then I don't need a teacher and I don't need a preacher, because then that would be contrary to the word. What he's telling you is that the man's not going to teach you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that teaches you.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you have the Holy Spirit teaching you, he will tell you, that's my voice for the day. He will tell you, that's my scripture. That's right. That's my revelation. See, that the Holy Spirit in each one of us will tell us what truth is, because it is the Spirit of truth. And so when the Holy Spirit in you will tell you that the man behind the pulpit's telling you the truth, right?
Right.
The Holy Spirit in you will tell you that if somebody's trying to say something different about Scripture than what it is.
Right.
So it's not taken away from the fact that you must have the Holy Spirit working in your life when it says that this prophet, when we see that he is the voice of God, he was chosen of God to bring a special set of instructions of things to us, mainly just to take this word and open it up to us and make it become a new book, become alive to us. Amen. And so each one of us have to have the experience of the voice of God speaking to us. And it's most, the one most wonderful thing in life is to know that God is speaking to you and that you have a relationship with him, that you can enter into a room, a closet, wherever, and he's there. Amen. He's there to meet you. It's wonderful. Just pray for a moment. We'll let you go. Lord, we thank you for these few minutes to be here with your people tonight to speak on your word. Lord, it is your word. And so we know that it does not go out void. It will accomplish. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would just let your children digest these things that they've heard tonight. I know it wasn't anything new probably to them, but just assemble together in a few thoughts and maybe help them see things in a different light to help them, Lord, in their daily battles, to be able to trust you even that much more and know that you're there and be able to draw you into the midst of every circumstance. You promised to do it, Lord, and so that's where it is. It's our faith, Lord, to be quickened in your word enough to bring you on the scene in every situation. We love you, Lord. Pray that you bless each one that's here, each one that's streaming. Lord, just give them victories over their enemies. Lord, we know that in the story that there were handfuls of purpose, Lord, that would purposely be given. And your prophet said every once in a while you'd let us have a healing, you'd let us have a great thing that would take place. And Lord, I pray that you would do that with this little assembly. Lord, that you just drop a few handfuls of purpose for us. God, that it would just give us rejoicing. We have many needs among us. And so, Lord, we're just giving those all to you and look to you as our King and our author and finisher of our faith, our great shepherd. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
I'm going to sing another song real quick before we go. And it doesn't offend me that Brother Brandon would say he was God's voice to this day. Amen. Because I can see it in his word, in the scriptures. Amen. It's the same. 5:23. You know, I was listening to the prophet a couple of days, several days, even today, whatever, in a certain sermon he was speaking. And he said, you know, 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, they wanted a great leader. They wanted somebody to come down like some great one that would destroy all the Romans and a conqueror. And God didn't send them that conqueror like that.
Right.
And that because they were looking for that, you know, then they rejected him. And Brother Brandon made the parallel that that Christ has come again today. Now think, this is Christmas time, okay? And we think about how that God's, and he was talking about this, Christmas. He's talking about God has sent the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted a great conqueror, but God gave them this babe in a manger. God gave them, and they didn't want it.
Right.
They didn't want what God gave. And he made the parallel and showed that that has happened again today.
Right.
God has come down and brought us a great gift. And he described what that gift is. And maybe I'll read this to you sometime. That gift of the presence of God back in the church to bring us back to the Word. Mm-hmm. And the people don't want it.
Right.
They rejected the same. If God would be trying to pour out a gift again today, like another Christmas, and they rejected it because they want all their things that they have in their religious systems. We don't want to be guilty of that.
Right.
Amen. This is the evening time, and it is later than we think. It's darkness throughout the land. People can't understand. It has walked this land, proclaiming the way to God. You would be saved today. Just follow the word he gave, accepting the word of God, rejecting the creeds of man. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. God is preparing now for the Lord to be. All things are ready now. The bridegroom I hear. That hath a ear to hear, the evening time is here. Darkness throughout the land, people can't understand. Prophet has walked this land, proclaiming the way to God.